is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone. I'm Lana, your host for the next hour. Joining me is Angelo John Gage, who I spoke with about a year ago now. Many of you have watched his YouTube videos where he offers his commentary on current issues facing Europeans in America. If you're a Red Ice member, log in to watch the video version of this interview as Angelo's joining us via webcam and I'm also on camera. As a host, it's really a different experience when you can see the people that you're interviewing, and I'm sure it's much more interesting for the listener too. So with that, welcome Angelo.
Hey, I'm glad to be here in your new show with the whole camera angle. It's pretty interesting. A lot of Hollywood effects going on.
That's right. Hey. Well, we have a lot of points to cover, and I'm really looking forward to this. You and I, we may not agree with everything, but I'm not one of those people that just cuts people off simply because we don't match up 100% of the time. I mean, who does? However, you and I are really united in the big picture, and I appreciate a lot of what you say. Recently, you deleted a bunch of your videos, and you released a new video called Full Spectrum Dominance, which created quite a stir for a few, at least some of the little Twitter brats. So what's changed? How'd your perspective shift recently?
Well, you know, to explain why everything happened is basically, you know, when I get into something at first, you know, I kind of sit back. And this comes from my military background, you know, like the first guy coming in, he gets the crappiest job, you know, he doesn't have any say in things. So I got into this movement and I just laid back and watched things go. And I started to see flaws and stuff like that. And as I gained more popularity through activism, whatever else, I decided to voice myself more until I finally realized that this strategy is not working at all. It's been 60 years. And I spoke to Rich from Power to Discipline, who was a really big catalyst in my change, if you want to call it that. I spoke to Giorgio from Golden Dawn and then Frank from Forza Nova. These are the three individuals who really helped me realize the reality of the situation. And, you know, a lot of people call this treason all of a sudden, but, you know, I really realized that we need to start focusing on a winning strategy rather than sticking to a strategy that will all get us killed. It will. It won't get anywhere politically. It just won't happen. And, so I decided to start fresh and doing that. It's illegal, apparently. It's treason. It's wrong. You're hiding something. No, it's me saying, you know what? When I have a gut feeling, Lana, I'm the kind of guy, I get a gut feeling. I go, I have to get out of here. That's what I did. And there's nothing wrong with that. People think it's wrong to change your mind and do something that will work. Yep. They don't want to win, if you ask me.
Well, one of the points that you brought up, and I think it's true, the truth is not working. Most of the masses, they don't give a damn about the truth. You know, the enemy knows this. So what can you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, look at normal people. People know cigarettes most likely will cause cancer. You could put skull and crossbones on a pack of cigarettes and they will still smoke. So they know the truth is bad. They know the cigarette's bad. They know the truth that cigarettes and smoking are bad. But yet they have no strategy to quit. Even if they wanted to quit, how are they going to quit? Are they going to take a drug to help them quit? Or are they going to do like, you know, taper off quitting? They don't have a strategy. They're not going to quit. They'll all quit next week, and they don't do it. So people know the government's corrupt. People don't trust this and that. What do they? They don't do anything, Lana. So giving people the truth, number one, most people don't care. They like their comfortable lifestyle right now. And also, sometimes the truth doesn't always free you. The truth could actually enslave you and drive you mad and make you go crazy and do stupid things like shoot up a school. And what good has that done? You know. So some people can't handle the truth. And frankly, I think they don't deserve the truth if they can't handle it. So only a few people could actually take the truth and say, wow, that's the truth, and take action with that truth in the proper way to communicate to the masses who don't care about the truth, who are lazy, complacent. And if they knew the truth, what are they going to do with it anyway? Probably nothing, unfortunately.
Yeah, I like how you say too, it's enough of the blame game, right? I mean, we eat what we want, we do what we want, we go where we want. There really isn't someone right over our head forcing us to not eat what we want or do what we want or take care of ourselves or make certain choices in life, correct?
Right. There's no super Semitic army that conquered the United States of America. There's no Jewish rabbi putting a gun to your head and saying, watch television. I mean, the blame game is no different than Black Lives Matter. And yes, people have said, Angel, but these things are true. Of course it's true. Of course these people control the media. They control all this other stuff. But you control you. So when you are a victim, you don't have options. You know, like a fat person says, oh, I'm fat. My metabolism is slow. Yes, but you can speed up your metabolism. There are ways around these things, whether you're genetically disposed to being more fat or not. we're sitting here as white people, we're sitting here blaming these super Semites that did something back in the 60s, you know, just like blacks blame whites for what they did in the 40s or the 50s. Where have the black people gone in the last 50, 60 years? Nowhere. They're way worse than they were. So our people have cucked out, and they think telling the truth nonstop. And again, I'm not saying lie to people. I'm not saying make up another story or a fairy tale. I'm saying tell people who want to really know. Hey, Angela, what really happened? Are you sure, Bob? Yeah, I want to know. Okay. If someone says, listen, let's close this border, let's close the border. You know, we don't have to sit there and explain, well, there's this tribe for 2,000 years been hunting us down and they want to kill us all and whatever. They don't know that. And they wouldn't even understand or comprehend that kind of knowledge. It's just not possible. You know, you're dealing with the masses. They're feminine. They react emotionally. And intellectual novels and documentaries that are hours long, who sits there and watch it? These people go to work, they come back, they have a mortgage to pay, their wife's yelling, their whatever's going, the dog's barking. They don't have time to sit there and watch The Greatest Story Never Told, which I did watch, and it's great work. But, you know, who has time for that?
Yeah, very few people are actually inquisitive truth seekers and will go into hours of research, let alone conspiracy, and try and figure some of these out. So why do you think the enemy is so effective? You said something about them having a positive message, and that's what makes them so effective.
Well, look, they teach you all equality. We're all equal. It's all beautiful stuff, even though it's a fantasy world. It's impossible to do. Oh, you know, we all bleed red, or, you know, unity through whatever the case. Open the borders. We're all humans, blah, 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 blah. It's a powerful, happy message. And we're saying, oh, my God, we're going to die. Oh, we're going to lose. Who wants to join that losing team? Oh, doomsday apocalypse coming. Oh, we're going to be obliterated if we don't do this. And these are true things, some of them. But who wants to be part of the losing team? The masses want to be part of the winning team. And we sound like a bunch of bitchy, moaning losers. And we're not taking responsibility for what we've done or not done to prevent this. I mean, it takes two to tango. This is my new theme. It takes two to tango, and we're dancing with the devil. And people don't want to admit this. You know, who said take out that loan? Who said watch that garbage on television? You know, one of the reasons why your media exists is to create an alternative media to educate people not to spend their money on Netflix. But what, they'll still go to Netflix and watch their binge. They'll binge for 8 hours watching, you know, Vampire Diaries or Gossip Girls, but not reading books and becoming smarter people. It's terrible what's happening. We're part of it. We're dancing with the devil. And I'm not making excuses for our people, just like blacks make excuses for their people and their crime rates and their bastardization rates when eight out of 10 times the black father leaves. Who made him leave? Did a white man make him leave? It's the same argument, Lana.
Yeah.
We're being victims. And yes, and things are legitimate. Sure, there are policies that are trying to wipe us out. Yes. Why are these traitors not running for their lives? Why is David Cameron and Soros, why are they not hiding in a cave? Because where are our people running around with pitchforks? Where are they?
Well, how do we tailor our message to reach these people?
Well, that's a very good question, Lana. We have to appeal to their emotions, and we got to push positive stuff. We got to say, look, we're responsible. Our motto at the Resurgence Media Network is making our men great again. See that? We're kind of riding in the Trump wave, make America great. Making our men great again, it's a positive message. It's not like, oh, we're all going to die, stop the whatever. It's we got to get people thinking and feeling again. You know, now we are a nation of feelers now. We used to be a nation of thinkers. But we have to take advantage of that and say, look, okay, let's start being positive. We can win. We can the media, it's called Resurgence Media Network for a reason, because resurgence means a revival coming back from. We can become great again. And that's a positive message. That's a message where I take responsibility for my failures and I will make them right, versus, oh my God, there's a super Semitic army of hordes of non-whites are going to destroy it. There's no chance. Turner Diaries. That's not a winning message. That's a spooky message. It scares people away. And we got to teach people that, you know what? It's time to man up, grow our balls back. And let's make this shit happen. That's what we need to do. We need a strong message, not this soft intellectualism. Again, no offense, intellectuals, I appreciate them, but do the masses appreciate them? Not really, Lana. They want to talk to people that speak like them. You look at Donald Trump, he gets to the point, he repeats himself a million times, and he gets to the people's hearts and minds. Everyone else, Ted Cruz, he sounds like an asshole. He's lying.
Yeah, you can see it's false. Yeah.
You know?
Well, how do we deliver the message? I know you said that there's levels to delivering the message.
Yeah, well, I mean, the truth is out there. The truth's been out there for thousands of years. I mean, you know, if you want to talk about the Jewish question or other things, it's been out there. Popes have talked about it, saints, other men in history. I mean, it's all there. And there's different levels to the truth, but the masses are at level one. So how are you going to teach the masses level five if they're not prepared for it? Where they even accept this entire thing? You know, so to teach them, they might inquire little by little, some of them, to go to level five. But the ultimate truth is that we're up there too, and we're part of the problem at level five. You know, level one is like, oh, the government's corrupt. Level two is like, oh, well, the Democrats suck, so I'm going Republican. Level three is I'm an independent. You know, we need a level four. We need a revolution. And number five is, well, we know who the elites are, but then no one says, well, we're part of the problem. We're letting them get away with this.
Yep, that's right.
You know? So how do we deliver that? Well, we have to teach ourselves discipline and responsibility for our actions. We can control ourselves. Like you said, no one's forcing you to eat, you know, some kind of GMO food or whatever the case is. Yeah, they're making it harder for you to get natural food, sure. But there's ways around it, and we have to make sacrifices to make this happen.
That's right. I know. I hate when people try and say, oh, well, it's expensive, while they're drinking beer and have their Netflix.
It's expensive to not kill yourself. Yeah, well, like the money's more important all of a sudden. See, these people, it's incredible. They make excuses for everything. They're not serious.
What kind of people do we have in the cause?
I mean, look, I've been around for a few years. I mean, I started again from the back seat, got on the show, you know, with the white voice, just talking. And throughout my time here, I talked to different people, and some of them are extremely insane. You know, we got people who want to hurt other races. They hate them. They wouldn't save a black baby from a fire. They've lost their compassion. They've become like a Zionist Jew who wants to destroy Palestinians.
Yeah, interesting they become the thing they hate after they study it for so long and talk about it. They absorb it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. I've talked to people, and I have to block these people. And they go, oh, my God, you know, what are you doing? I'm part of you're not part of my team. You're not. You're not a human being anymore. You're this damaged person who's so afraid, and you've lost your Aryan compassion, if you want to call it. I don't know how these people even call themselves Aryan. I don't even know why they even say the word. It's a disgrace. It's insane for them to say these things when they have no compassion for humanity. And then they say the compassion for humanity got us in this in the first place. Well, no, we lost our identity. We got lazy and complacent.
Would also rise up and do something about the problem instead of just pointing fingers at, you know, okay, great, you've identified who these elites are and what they're doing, but what are you actually going to do about it? The Aryan way isn't to sit around and just to complain about it. But yeah. I know you said that there were, you know, activists, and then there's the brains and the contributors.
You want to know the section, I believe.
Yeah.
That was in the video too. Yeah. So we have activists, right? So we have the people on the ground, the people in real life, you know, posters, flyers. I did that. Then they have internet activists. These are the people who are avatars, if they want to be, or you're yourself, or those of us on Twitter, on social media, pushing a message that, you know, whether you could be anonymous or not, I don't care about that. That's not an avatar, which I'll get into, by the way, because people got offended by avatar. If you use an avatar to push the message, that's fine. You're pushing a message like white genocide, anti-white, whatever the case may be. You're an internet activist. That's why. Then you have the brains. You got the people out there who write the books, who have the conferences, who are part of the think tanks. You know these people, Jared Taylor, Dr. Dukes, and the Spencers, and all these guys. And they do wonderful work, and people look up to them, and they're going to be educated by intellectuals. And then you have the contributors, type C. These people donate. They donate their time, their money. They help behind the scenes. You know, I was at MPI. I met a few of these people, which, you know, they didn't want their name known, but they were making real good money, and they were donating a lot of money to these organizations. And you need all three of these people to make an organization run. You can't have free membership. It wouldn't work. It needs to be sustained with money, unfortunately. And you need brains behind your operation. You need activists on the ground and on the internet, which is marketing as well. And you need contributors to be behind you. I mean, we would never have raised money for that printer if we didn't have people who believed in us and contributed their money.
That's right.
Which we do have. It was a conspiracy bullshit. It wasn't. Another great thing that happened that woke me up from this whole movement. So there's people out there, they're paranoid, and I call them type D. They don't do anything. They don't do dick. They do nothing. They sit there, they type in their avatars. They never want to meet anybody. Let me tell you this. I met a lot of people at MPI who were using avatars, but they met people in real life.
Yes.
That's totally fine with me. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with these people. You know, they don't want to put their face out there. It's no one's business. but they actually meet people in real life. That's fine, 100%. I'm not bashing that. That's not an avatar. An avatar is someone who sits behind an avatar forever, complains about everything, doesn't donate to anybody, not even their favorite website that they're on complaining at, you know, and they just hate everybody. And who knows who they are? No one will ever know who they are. And to me, they're avatars. They talk in circles and they actually sow doubt in the movement. They create drama. And it's just, to me, that's a joke. It's a joke. Will you even let these people speak?
And many might even be agitators or leftists or paid. I mean, who knows? We don't know.
We know. I know you're real and I'm real, you know.
Yeah.
But we don't know who these people are with their SpongeBob SquarePants avatars telling me I'm okay, let's listen to him.
So overthrowing the elites, is this something that happens that's bottom up?
Well, if you're Donald Trump, you could probably pull it off from the top up. But that's like a rare thing. Here's a billionaire, self-made. You know, he has the ability to do it if he's going to win. Who knows what's going to happen. But, you know, people talk about Adolf Hitler left and right. I've read Mein Kampf twice. I can say it publicly. It's a book. I read it. The last time I read it was a few weeks ago. I highlighted everything because I didn't understand it. He did it from the bottom up with seven guys. He won the masses over. He told the truth, nothing but the truth, different time. I mean, anti-Semitism was normal. Everyone, there's the anti-Semitic parties, the magazines are out. Different story. You cannot compare, today's world with then. People want to live back then. It's not going to work. Again, different story. And most Jews are openly communist then. The Jews today are not the same. We're not dealing with Trotskys anymore. We're dealing with Jews in America who don't even know what Israel is. They don't give a damn. They smoke weed and they go, oh, I like football. They're not the same Jews. Half of them marry out of their race. There's a big race problem with Jews marrying outside of their, it's like 50%. So these Jews are not the same and they want to compare apple to oranges.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Baby Ezra doesn't know, like you've said in your videos, what the elite Jews are doing, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the elite Jews, I mean, look, you look at the King David bombing. They killed their own people in that bombing. I mean, they don't care. It's like a lot of these people who are obsessed with Jews, the Jew worshipers or what Rich would call Jew chasers, they make Jews these infallible God's chosen people. These people are normal. Look, they're not like us, but they have problems within their families. They rob each other. Look at Bernie Madoff. I mean, these people don't care about their lesser brethren. And, you know, that's the thing they don't understand. They make these people, oh, they're all in on it. No, it's just when you're a minority, you're going to cling together. Like blacks, they don't plot things, you know, and now we're becoming a minority. Are we plotting things right now? Are we sitting there on Twitter plotting certain memes? Some of us, but
it's
a self-defense mechanism. Yeah. And if you tell your people that you've been gassed and lampshaded, they're going to say, holy shit, I don't want that to happen again. And they're automatically going to act in a defensive measure. And Kevin McDonald goes into this whole thing with this psychological evolution. It's very complex. But he's right, I believe. They've evolved. And, you know, Galeed Atzmon, he's a Jew as well. Yep. He's an activist. He said that Jews have pre-stress disorder. So they think of problems before they could even pop. And then they actually create the problem.
By actually
passing laws to, you know, make things a problem that wouldn't have been there. You know, it's incredible. So it's really insane, but we have to see that these people are another group of human beings that have the same flaws as we do. It's not like they're perfect and, you know, they're infallible, indestructible. They control every inch of the planet. No, they really don't. I mean, if they did, we'd be in Iran already.
Well, let's keep a video you did in Enemy Traps and Ultimate Strategy. You talk about the Jew trap. So we'll cue that up here and tell us what's going on here, what you're trying to explain.
Well, this is we've all fell for it, including myself. By the way, when I criticize people, I'm guilty too. So I'm probably one of the first people to openly admit that I've messed up many times. Most people don't do this. They hold on and they keep going forward with a losing strategy. I will refuse to do that. So here I'm showing you that there's elite Jews in the top, Zionists, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. Then you have the Jewish people who are pretty much clueless. I mean, when the Jews send their own children to Auschwitz, do you think they're going there giggling, knowing that it's the hoax of the century or whatever else? You know, they don't know. So when people come out and attack all Jews, oh, the Jewish people are doing this, then this gives the ADL, as you can see to your left there, ADL-SPLC, it gives them legitimacy. So when you attack them, it gives them more power. And if you look at the Protocols of Zion, I don't care if it's a forgery or was totally fake, there's a passage that says, the Zionists said that anti-Semitism will be indispensable for the control of our lesser brethren. So it means that they need anti-Semitism to manage their lesser brethren. So how effective would it be if you could actually lie to your own people so that they can defend that lie with their lives? They would get emotional about it. They'll be, oh my God, the Holocaust, this, that. And it gives these other organizations, ADL, SPLC, the funding they need. It's like Black Lives Matter. If white people started shooting more black children today, Black Lives Matter would grow even more powerful.
That's right. Justifies their existence.
Right. Yeah. So the more anti-Semitism that people push on the Jewish people, not the elites. If you say elite Jews, but you say that, that's different. You know, if you say Zionist Jew, not every single Jew on the planet, you know, because baby Ezra, he's not running around, you know, going to kill you. I mean, could he read the Talmud and become a Zionist? Maybe. But again, I've seen people in my life, they're broke Jews. They have no interest in Israel. They're just liberal minded genetically, probably. That's how they are. But, you know, the thing about this whole Jewish conspiracy thing is that that's the Jew trap, and people fall for it over and over again. And let me tell you this. There's a guy in Superman called Doomsday. I don't know if you ever watched Superman. He's a guy that Superman, you can't even kill him. Every time you hit him and every time you attack him, he grows stronger and stronger and stronger and bigger. And all you can do is just throw him to the sun and attach him to a meteor and launch him into a black hole. You can't kill him. So if you attack the Jewish people, it makes anti-Semitism legitimate. And they go, see, that's why they do their own little swastika, you know, false flags, sure, because it gives them power. So here we are, the Aryan man. Oh, we got to tell the truth. It's the Jews. They go, yep, go ahead, tell the truth. Yep, walk down the street with a swastika. Yep, Heil Hitler on camera. Do what you go. Yeah, come on, let's go. American History X, perfect. That's why I spend billions of dollars making these movies, and you people fall right into it and give us more power. Now, imagine there was zero of that, and we simply attacked the Jewish machinations, the Federal Reserve, open borders, the gun grab. You know, we get into this later, right? You want to talk about
yes,
that later.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, we'll get to that later because that's important.
Well, actually, we should get into that because now is a perfect place.
Well, okay, so that's the thing. So the reason why we have problems with these people is because they created machinations to take away our freedoms, our guns, the open borders, whatever the case is, right? Suppose these people never did these things, we wouldn't have a problem with them. We would never, if they never did anything against us nationally, they said, oh, no, we love white people, and they moved in and they assimilated. No, they're pushing things that destroy us. If we attack the things that they destroy us, now we can set a trap for them. So when we say, you know what, we're going to ban usury, and they're going, oh, wait a minute, no, we need usury. Well, who says this? Oh, here comes Yellen talking about it. Here comes Bernanke. Here comes this Jewish guy. Here comes that guy. And there'll be white traitors too, you know, obviously the Goyim. But gun grabbing, oh, we want our guns. Well, here comes Feinstein. Here comes, they're going to come out after us. So we set the trap, okay? We say, no, this is what, we don't want that crap. That's all we have to say. One of the traps is the Holocaust denial. Okay, people say the Holocaust never happened. Now, when you say that, people have a folder in their head in history. They have all the little events, you know, Trade Center bombing, Holocaust. The Holocaust folder's there. When you say it didn't happen, you're saying that folder didn't happen. Instead of saying, look, the Holocaust took place, but what happened? Another story. Now, they have a law in 18 countries. Instead of saying it never happened and whatever happened there, who knows? I wasn't there. You weren't there. We could only speculate off these documentaries. Instead of saying, you know what? It never happened. This is a lie. Say, why is it illegal to question? I think that's a violation of human rights. Why is it in the free world in the West, people are going to prison questioning an event? That's an effective strategy. Now they have to come out and say, well, because now they have all these excuses.
That's right. I've tried it before, and it puts them in a corner right away.
You can't do it. That's the thing. So why are we being stupid and allowing them to come in here and pass these laws, which we don't need to have? I mean, come on. So we're letting them do it, and they do this whole guilt trip and, oh my God, 6 million, this and that. And, you know, let's not pretend that people weren't killed. Of course they were. Of course they were. Were they the extremes that Spielberg shows us? Absolutely not. But I'm not denying anything. I'm not saying I deny the persecution of the Jewish people. Absolutely.
And you're also not denying that they have certain traits as a people, right?
That's correct.
And you're also not saying that the Nazis are running the media, right?
Right. No, right. But there's ways around these traps that their enemies have set. You know, people say, Angelo, this is what they say to me all the time. Angelo, we got to go for the head of the snake. Well, guess what? Our enemy has cleverly protected its neck with every thing it has. Yet it's exposed its tail, which we could chop open and go up the spine and chop their head off from within. We have to infiltrate and destroy these people. We have to do it. And these people are not just Jewish people. They're all the elites, the traitors. And that's another thing. They blame everything on the Jewish people, everything on baby Ezra, right? And I'm using a straw man because I'm being funny. But they blame it on all these people. Look, the Jews created communism. They created all this stuff. But then it's like a Pandora's box. There are more white people in our way than Jews on this planet.
That's true. White anti-whites.
White liberals, white cucks. There's like 20 million Jews. Do you really think 20 million Semitic people ruled the planet, keeping us down with an iron fist? Or have we white cucks said, I give up. I don't want to be called a name. I want to save the white race, but I won't be called a name. I refuse. I'd rather keep my job than save my children. There's another excuse I get. Keep my job. You know, I understand you need to keep your job, but keeping your job, getting genocided. You know, our ancestors would disagree with that.
Yeah, I don't like when people blame it's the Jews 100%. I mean, we have to admit that our people have been fooled, right? Like we said, they're eating the food, watching the crappy shows, drinking the beer. You know, you said it takes two to tangle. So we have to take some responsibility here. And yeah, we can blame the elite system, but also ourselves for allowing it to happen. And for some reason, people don't like that message when you say take responsibility, that your people have also been fooled here and we have to do something about it. They don't want to hear that, do they?
No, they don't want to stop their hobby. They don't want to stop this complaining all day like Black Lives Matter. If you say, hey, guys, stop this crap, go get a job, you know, stop shooting each other. They go, no, white man, ah, same thing with these people. They go, oh, no, we can't because they're Jew, this and that. You know, no one's stopping you from producing your clothing line. You know, no one's stopping anyone from being an entrepreneur. No one's stopping white people buying 100 acres of land and building a community. No one, there's no one stopping us. Will they try? Sure they will. But we have to be powerful as we are. We're a powerful people. We just forgot our ancestors. We were the Romans, the Vikings, the Spartans. Would this have happened to Sparta? No. Would a bunch of Semites come to Sparta and say, hey, Spartans, you don't exist. And by the way, you should be ashamed of all your conquests, and your women can turn to men, by the way. So leave me. Get the hell out. They'd get kicked into that pit.
Oh, yeah, like they'd get killed. You know.
Come on.
I want to cue up this circular drawing here you made in your video, yeah. And you're kind of explaining where we fall in the hierarchy of things and how this process works. So with you being in the center, working your way out, right, of family, and then you have town, country, state, nation. So maybe you could elaborate on that idea.
Yeah. Yeah, see, there I am, you know, flopping around. Well, in the middle, there's you, then there's family, then there's town, county, state, and then the nation. So the change begins with all of us as individuals, okay? If we are playing the blame game, a victim has no options. They have no power. They're going, oh, that's the reason, just like the fat person. Oh, I'm fat because my – change your metabolism. Change your strategy. We have a losing strategy. It starts with you. Become positive. Become a leader in your family. With your friends. Everyone knows me. Everyone knows my political views. I've changed people's lives just because I am myself. And I don't back down. I don't take shit from anybody. And I don't deal with their nonsense. And I crush the enemy when I see him. When I see some liberal talk, he gets destroyed and he runs away. And everyone goes, oh, Angelo won that argument. That's how it comes down to. It's no more intellectualism. It's destroy and shame. So at a personal level, destroy, shame the enemy wherever you may find them. You're at Starbucks. They start talking about white privilege. Annihilate him right there. Not violently. Embarrass them. Oh, really? White privilege? Boom.
Yeah.
Then you might convert four people in line. But then, you know, you got to get involved in your town politics. Again, who's running for council? How many white nationalist councilmen or mayors or anything? I've not seen one.
None. And I had told you before, there's a Trotskyites running for city council now in Seattle.
You go look at our history. There's one guy who ran and won, Dr. Duke. Did he run as a white nationalist? No. Did he run as a Klansman? No. Did he run as no, he ran as a Republican and he ran as a conservative platform and he actually got voted in and he changed some laws in Louisiana. That's positive change. That's victory. If the system is rigged, he would never win.
Mm-hmm.
He would never win. And if the system is rigged, why do they have to rig it anyway? You see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's all the voter fraud if it's rigged? It's not rigged. They can only rig things when it's a close call. That doesn't make it do it. So if there's so many people, if I run for Congress right now in my district and everyone votes for me, I'm winning. There's no conspiracy there. There's no conspiracy.
Yeah, I don't like when everyone's, you know, there's people that are saying everyone's part of the problem. So do nothing? I mean, that's ridiculous. So not try anything, not try to run for politics?
Right. These people act like we went to war with they act like everyone knew the truth and we went to war against the Semitic mass army Xerxes and his hordes, right? And they came over here and defeated us all, and we can't win. None of that happened. They came in here with these insane slogans in the 60s. No one liked them. You know, the communists were scumbags. No, and they just kept persisting and persisting and persisting, and they won. Because we said, oh, all right, well, I don't want to be called a, all right, sorry, get in there. Yeah, teach your gender equality. Forget it, whatever. I don't give a shit. Go ahead. You know, I don't want to deal with it. I got to go to Netflix. That's what happened, Lana. We didn't get defeated. There was no military here. Who invaded America? Nobody.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, come on. But these people came in and they conquered us mentally. They convinced us white titans of such a great white race, as Arthur Kemp would say, to destroy themselves just by power of suggestion.
That's why I think the identitarian movement is a really good one, you know, not addressing overt, you know, politics, but really focusing on making our culture great, making ourselves great, making Europeans cool again, right? Remembering what it is to be European, not forgetting who we are, our values, our goals. In America, we've lost sight of that. It used to be people looked in awe at Europeans. And now look at us. I look around and it's pitiful what I see, how we've become. But if people could just be strong, knowing who they are, knowing who their culture is, being proud, then they can take any hits that come their way. So even if we had open borders, it wouldn't matter because they're immovable within themselves, right?
Right. If people go back to their... Now, I was born in Italy, so fortunately for me, I could say I'm an Italian-American. I do have some roots. My whole mother's side is there. Compare me to some American guy who's been here for 14 whatever generations, has lost his identity, he's mixed with German, Irish. They have to go down to their racial unit. I mean, that's ultimately... When me and the white nationalists got a little clash on Twitter, we came to the understanding that they really have no choice, but they can rediscover their roots, and that's what identitarianism is.
Yeah, you're saying because Americans are so mixed up, so it's kind of a generic, it's become a generic white.
Yeah, like what is their culture here? Cheeseburgers, yeah. Independence Day, I don't know. I'm not making fun of them. I really don't know there was a culture, it seems, yeah. And then it's been destroyed. So now they have to go to their racial unit and say, we can't be genocided. And I agree with that. I mean, that's their strategy. You know, but Europe is our homeland. If we lose Europe, it's game over.
Yeah, that can't happen.
If we lose America, okay, we lost one of our greatest colonies ever for 200 years,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We lose Europe, that's thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years of our people's history, our lineage, everything. We could lose Australia, Canada, we could lose everything else, but if we lose our homeland, our headquarters for our race, our people, where are you going to run to then?
I agree. Nowhere. You know, and I do support the idea in America of secession and breaking up into smaller territories. But as we talked about earlier, it requires political action to do that. So once again, here we are, the need to get into politics to even legally fight to begin that process to break away, right?
Yeah. And the thing about these truthers out there, like Alex Jones, they say the system's rigged. There's no chance. You're already defeated. You know, when I was helping a few guys from American Freedom Party run for Senate, I was shocked at the number of votes that were out, like 20,000. That was it? Like out of 8 million people in New Jersey, 25,000 people voted for Cory Booker?
I know. It's amazing.
What about the other millions of people? Because people don't believe in the system because they say, oh, my vote doesn't count, or they're lazy or whatever the case may be. Here comes Donald Trump. People have come out in droves because they love the guy. They believe in him. And Trump is a nationalist. He's not a white nationalist. He's not a crypto nationalist, a white nationalist. He's a nationalist. And look what he's showing. And that was another catalyst, by the way, is looking at Trump, unite Americans of all races and colors and creeds and saying, we want to make America great again. Very simple. Don't even know what that really means, right? But it's very simple, emotionally appealing. And black people are up there. Muslims, even Mexicans.
But of course, it's majority white. He must know on some level these are white interests. So I don't even have to say that overtly.
Exactly. See the strategy there?
Yeah.
And what do you say about Israel? I'm going to remain neutral. You see? Look at that. That's like worse than the Holocaust to these people. But I want to broker a deal. No, not these Zionists. They don't want a deal. So there's ways to say the same thing. Again, with Germany, you know, you can't say anything about the Holocaust and say, well, why is it illegal? That's a violation of human rights or whatever, or these immigrants. You say another term, there's ways of, look, these enemies of ours are Semitic sorcerers. They take words, they rename them, they make up new words. We can make up new words too, like anti-white. One of the greatest things that the propaganda war has done on Twitter is the spreading of anti-white. You could thank Tim and Bob and all those guys. They've been blasting this for a long time. And anti-white's being spoken in the media. And our group at the NYF, which is now Identity Europa, Nathan's running it, by the way. We did we used it. It was in Boston Sun-Times. So those things work.
Yeah.
And the thing is, that's a propaganda war. That's of the mind. But we need hearts because hearts move people. Emotion, Lana. Emotion. Yep. What I noticed in this movement, and I've listened to a lot of speakers, a lot of intellectuals. None of them want me to get off my chair and run out the window and do something. And I said to myself, well, I guess I have to do it. And I made some videos like Make Whites Great Again, and I've made speeches, even in German, one of them, just to motivate people. And, you know, I realized I have the power to move people. I mean, when I was the chairman of NYF, I typed out to people on White Pride Worldwide Day to go out there and move flyers. And all of a sudden, people were putting out, it was Operation White Storm. And people from Australia, New Zealand, everyone was going, people are not even part of my group were doing it. Mm-hmm. So I have the power to move people. I have the influence. I have the charisma. And I'm not trying to be arrogant, but this is what people tell me. And then I see the action. And I go, that's what I'm meant to do here. I'm meant to be a motivator, kind of like a life coach for our people. You know, that's what I'm trying to do with this.
You brought up a very important part is we need to reach the masses, because being in alt media now, we're approaching 10 years. It's a special kind of person that listens to Red Eyes. It's not the masses, right? It's people that are more interested in these topics already, and they're very focused. They're very intelligent. You know, they're not the people that are just sitting around watching Netflix all the time, but we do need to reach those people. And those memes actually have done more that I've seen than anything else, all the work combined. I mean, the memes actually reached me. I came across Tim Murdoch. I saw one of those and it just triggered something in me. It just like switched in my head. Oh yeah, of course that's what diversity means, you know? So we do have to break it down into very simple, easy things that the masses can digest, right?
That's right. Propaganda has to be simple, repetitive, and appeal to emotion, you know, and logic too. For some people, logically, but you know, the brain hates contradiction. It hates it. So when you force someone to see a contradiction, they must accept it. You have to. And these liberals, what do? Oh, fuck you. I hate you. They can't accept. They run away. But they've already accepted it, though. They're not letting you know. That's why they're cursing at you. So a person can lie to you, but they can't lie to themselves.
That's right.
So I've had people, Nathan was actually telling me a few days ago that the work we did at Boston, someone got red-pilled from it. Even though it's been months later, they remembered us because of our message, and they now joined his group. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great.
That's amazing.
Well, another thing I see coming in is funny because Richard and I talked about this before this, you know, alt-right started making into the news. I said, you better claim that before someone else comes and claims are the alt-right. And then here it is. Like, I almost feel like Richard now should be like forced to run into politics and be like, I am running. We are alt-right. I mean, because it's kind of going in that direction now, as much buzz the alt-right is getting. What do you think about all the buzz around it?
I think men like him, intelligent people, should be running for something. They would obliterate their opponents.
Yeah, I think so. He's intelligent. He knows the argument.
I went to MPI. I told Richard, I said, you know, I liked it. I really did. I liked being in a room full of people who were not behind an avatar, who weren't sitting there spewing ridiculous racial slurs and all this other nonsense. In fact, there was a black guy there. And I went up to him and said, oh, the token black guy. He starts laughing. What are you doing here? He's like, I'm a black nationalist. So technically, he was a black guy who understood our cause. And yeah. He was treated with respect. He was there. We had a great time. We spoke. I mean, that's the thing. We're normal human beings. We can't be painted as these supremacist, neo-Nazi American History X people. That's exactly what our enemies want to happen. That's why they made those movies, Lana.
Yeah.
And let me say, I tell people all the time, a lot of these skinhead people, they run around yelling at me, oh, you're a traitor. If I took these people back in time, the Nazis, they would be in a concentration camp. Because they're degenerate alcoholics. They're not people who they're more interested in their subculture that has nothing to do with National Socialism at all, or any political movement other than fighting Antifa, which are useful idiots.
That's right.
Antifa is not a movement either. They're useful idiots. So here comes people, there's fighting in the streets and everyone looks terrible. It's not good. It's not good. So
there's a lot of scum and there is a cleaning out process of it right now. Right. I see that. And that's one thing I like about, you know, some of the alt-right scene. I've met lots of those people and they really have their stuff together, you know, and they have a different appearance and
smart guy.
I like where it's going. The other thing is too, I don't like, Ramsey Paul's talked about this and I agree too. Some of these people, white nationalism has become like a cult, like a crazy church, you know, and there's no exceptions for the few. God forbid there be one black person or one gay person or one Asian person or one Jew that comes out of curiosity. There has to be exceptions to the rule, right?
Well, I spoke to Rams and I met him there too. He's a very tall man, by the way.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
He's really tall. And, you know, people are said, oh, Angelo and Rams have conspired to destroy us. This is what they're thinking, just because we've concluded, not even at the same time, he's been saying this. I've never claimed to be a white nationalist. From day one, everybody knew this. And he never said he was from day one. And again, I spoke to Forza Nova and Golden Dawn about this. Is where I was like, you know what, we should be ethno-nationalists. That's what I said. And I said, you know, white nationalism is kind of like a cult, because the second you deviate from it, if you have a non-white friend, I went to a wedding, my friend, he's Chinese, I guess I betrayed my race. You know, I should have had, you know, it's like, come on. But the Rams, you know, he said the same thing. He's like, isn't it funny that we get attacked more from our so-called friends and allies in this movement than the ADL has ever done?
Yeah.
And that's, and you don't even need the ADL to destroy this movement. You don't need it. You don't need the SPLC. They are more nice than the people in our movement. And it's probably because they really feel betrayed. And the paranoia, Lana, is so high. It's like they're already defeated mentally. They won't even meet you if you wanted to meet you. They think everyone's a Jew. If you're successful, you're a Jew. They're so used to losing that if anything good happens, it must be a conspiracy.
Yep.
And this is what the guy from Golden, this is what Giorgio told me from Golden Dawn. He's like, Angel, these people are so used to losing that any victory, there's something going on. Oh, Lana made a clothing line. Oh, she's a Jew.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh my God. Oh, Angel's financially secure. He's getting paid off by Mossad.
I mean, that's pathetic. And I go,
yeah, I got paid off. $40 million.
Pathetic. $40 million. I mean, is that the Aryan way? I mean, you kidding me? You people are pathetic to think like that.
Goes, one guy goes, how much did they pay you? I said $40 million would do that to you. You know, I just go with it. Yeah, I'm a Mossad agent. Of course I am. Please.
Well, these stereotypes from white nationalism have arisen out of some truths that exist there. And I think it is important to get away.
Another thing, Lana, I want to point out, by the way, white nationalism is such a vague term because we got people who want to ship people back to Africa, which is totally delusional. Then you got people who want to separate. And this all goes underneath the umbrella of white nationalism. So it's a demonized term, if you ask me. You know, identitarianism is new. Now, if you want to be a separatist, call yourself a separate. But white nationalism, it's so vague. The enemy has taken, these semantic sorcerers, again, have taken white nationalism equals Nazism. When it doesn't, because Adolf Hitler himself was not a white nationalist. He had no problem invading France. He had no problem attacking Russia. He had no problem invading other countries. He was a German nationalist. But white nationalism is a new thing.
Well, also, if you think of it too, white nationalism, that would mean that anyone who's white is welcome. Well, guess what? I don't want to live with communists and Marxists and anti-white, so I wouldn't want them in our white nation. The other thing is, do you think that America can be white again? Because I don't ever see that happening again with globalization and what's happening. I mean, this country is being lost to people that aren't white, so basically, white people are going to have to fight politically to be able to create a space that is their own. But it's not going to be entirely white, majority white anymore. What do you think?
I think, first of all, the United States of America is huge. You know, secondly, it's a bunch of different states, which are essentially countries that are federalized by central government. I mean, Italy is the size of California. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, we can have ethno states for every race here. I'm not saying let's give the illegals a state. No, we should all deport them. But I think there's, you know, blacks should get their own country, New Africa, if they want it. If they can't handle it, then I don't know what to tell you. I mean, we have enough room. And the thing is about with these white nationalists, the guys who are delusional, who think Turner Diaries is going to happen, who think we need to ship blacks to Africa when they brought them here. I mean, these people are not understanding that there's a peaceful solution, that we're in a melting pot, that, you know, we allowed this to happen. Again, we allowed it to happen. No army came here with guns and made us do it. And the best way is to break it up into ethno states, or at least repeal laws that force diversity. If you repeal laws that force diversity and allow a freedom of association and disassociation, you could have even small towns that are totally white. My town is 93% white. I'll tell you that right now. I'm actually very happy to find out. Yeah, there's no crime here. You know, it's very nice. I got two black neighbors. These two black neighbors are very nice people. They would never shoot me, stab me, kill me. Wonderful people. So, I mean, I think we could have majority white cities or towns or even states with a minority of people who made it, who are functional citizens. Or we could have totally, suppose the Swedes want an all Swedish nation and no one else can, no Italians allowed. So be it. Freedom of association. That's
yeah,
fine.
We need to be more creative here in our approach and actually try something that's new that actually supports diversity. Because now you have all these interest groups, all these identity focus groups. There's no way they're all going to get along under one government. I mean, look alone in the pro-white scene. How many people have differing views? And we supposedly match up on, what, probably 80, 90% of the same things? And we have a hard time getting along. So we're going to have to think outside the box for this one, I think.
Different religions. I mean, different white people have different belief systems, and they're attacking each other for that. And, oh, you worship a Jew on a stick. Oh, your pagan gods are fake. Oh, I'm an atheist. I'm a whatever. There's always going to be tribalism, even if we had a white ethno state.
Yeah.
There's always going to be someone who's less liberal than another person. There's always going to be division. It's natural. You know, unfortunately, nature, Mother Nature, has put us in a battle for
the best to survive. Yeah. There's no escaping it. That's a utopia too. It's like a Marxist. Oh, we're going to just blend everyone together and be peaceful. No, there'll still be problems. Same thing. We're going to get rid of everyone. No, there'll still be problems. I mean, look at Europe. We attacked each other over nonsense for thousands of years.
That's right.
All white.
Borders and boundaries aren't permanent.
Well, I'm going to attack you. I'm the Holy Roman Empire. we're never getting rid of human conflict. That's another delusion. I'm not bashing white nationalists for having the intention to save their people with the 14 words or whatever the case is. What I'm bashing is the ridiculous delusion and how they sell this idea, which is legitimate. It's legitimate. Look, these people in these movements and these different sects, they want to preserve their people. Why not just have that message? I want to preserve my people. Drop the racial slurs. I want to ship these people back to that country. Just say, I want a piece of the pie. I want a piece of this pie. It's a multicultural mouth. Give me a piece of this damn pie. Let me be safe. Who's going to say no? Yeah. When they say no, that's a trap. Oh, look, diversity supremacists. They want to kill us all. It's another trap. That's why when I did the NYF, I was an anti-supremacist. So anybody, when I said anti-supremacist, anybody who opposed us by default automatically was a supremacist.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They can't refute that. They can never refute that. So, I mean, there's so many ways to counteract these Semitic sorcerers, because that's what they are. They take words and they take the word racist and they change it to people who hate everyone who's superior. Then they say white supremacy is the same thing, then the bigot, and they change everything. So we'll make up our new words, you know, make up our own slogans. And again, that's what we have to do. We're smart enough. We can do this.
I think it's also important to remember that before, you know, Sweden was Sweden, there was lots of different tribes there that fought hard. Europe was made up of a lot of different tribes that fought very hard before Germany became Germany, Sweden became Sweden. And borders and boundaries, they change. They're fought, they change over time. You fight, you know, borders and boundaries have been made in blood and in warfare. It's just the reality of it, that they're not permanent. These things do change, right?
Yeah. And folks, I mean, if we really care about our blood, then why do we care about our land? I mean, just give me one state, you know, give me one big state that could house our people. And that's all we need, bound by blood. But the thing is, again, you know, would these people be willing to eradicate their culture that they've even created in the United States of America? Would Italians say, okay, Germans, come down here, we'll live together and obliterate Italian culture and let Germans take over, or vice versa, or the French or the British? No. These cultures are, look, we're all part of the same racial stock, but we're not all genetically identical. You could see a Russian woman from a mile away, and you can see an Italian woman from a mile away. You know you're looking at an Italian woman and a Russian woman. You know, I could tell you're Russian, Lana. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I could tell a Swedish person from a Spaniard. I could tell a Greek person from a Briton. I mean, we're not identical, like 100%, but we all are of European Caucasian racial stock, indeed. But there's so many different, we have so much diversity in our race. So this pan-Europeanism, pan-American, whatever you want to call it, is almost a form of ethnic cleansing. And when I said that, that pissed everybody off.
I think that kind of approach is when it's desperate times. It's like the white army. You have to get everyone together under one banner to fight, you know?
And maybe they're right about that. That's why.
But I know what you mean. You want to preserve. Of course, it would be awful for me to see Swedish gone or Irish gone or German gone and just have it be one generic white. I mean, really, when you look at America, you go to Europe, there's a lot more attractive people because they still are those unique, distinct ethnicities. And then a lot of times when you blend all that together, it's just like a whole lot of boring, you know?
When I said that statement, which they could have said, is he having a bad day? Is he confused? No, they're always a traitor, Robert! Right off the bat. They didn't go, Ange, what's wrong? You know, maybe you're misinformed. Nope, right off the attack. Only one guy reached out to me and spoke to me calmly, and we came to the conclusion, oh, well, now I understand where you're coming from. And I said, oh, my bad. I said, my bad publicly. Hey, guys, my bad. Call yourself whatever you want. I'm going to call myself whatever you want. I'm still on your team. That's what I said. But, you know, a lot of people, they just go on these tantrums that you're a traitor, you're going to kill everyone, you're part of the Mossad. And that's the paranoia that's got us nowhere.
That's right. I mean, we have to be gentle with each other and reason with each other and communicate. And I mean, we're all we have right now. There's so few of us. So it's ridiculous to spend all that time infighting and being paranoid. And it's just,
I've been very not gentle with people, to be motivating, to shaming people with excuses, not saying I don't want to be. Like,
shame is useful, though. Shame is useful, indeed.
Rich is kind of like that. And I came from the Marine Corps and I forgot who I was. I got really soft, to be honest with you, in this movement. I got really, really soft. Forgot what I've endured. And I was like, you know what? I'm not this soft-spoken guy. I'm from New Jersey. I curse. I do what I got to do. I say what I have to say. And a lot of people like this. It's not a new me. It's actually the real me who stressed myself in order to fit in to this movement, walking on eggshells for fucking retards who are crazy, who think the earth is flat or whatever else they're thinking. I mean, there's people here who have no honor or integrity. They attack you. They attack your personal, again, more than the ADL. And I couldn't believe it. I said, why am I risking myself for these people? These are not Aryan people. These aren't even people who are serious. They're not serious. And that's what Rich told me. Angela, you're dealing with basement dwelling hobbyists. And if you tell them to take responsibility, their hobby's over. Their website's going to go away. They have nothing to talk about. They're talking in circles.
And, you know, me personally, I like your approach. I like that you have a military background. I think that you have something really valid to bring to the table. And I there's other researchers and people. I mean, Richard Spencer, I like his approach. I welcome all those approaches because at the end of the day, I say this all the time, white people are diverse people and they need to hear the messages from different people in different ways. Correct?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I said, one of my tweets was, you know, soft nationalism is over. Intellectual, being soft. Oh, soft. You know, but when Spencer had his speech, he had a little curse in there. Oh, shit lord. And I was like, oh, that's pretty interesting. Rams, he had a nice, I guess it was a comedy skit almost, you know, talking about stuff. That's what we need. We need to spice this up. We need to make this have this new sex appeal even. We got to make this sexy for the people here.
Of course, yeah.
It's boring and dull and, oh, yes, of course, 20% of the rapes.
The masses don't care about that. They really don't care about statistics at the end of the day.
That's why with our networks, your network, our networks, we entertain our people and we teach them. You know, one of my favorite comedians was George Carlin because he was a funny old man and he would teach you shit as he cursed his head off. It was funny to me. And, yeah, he was laughing on a lot of crap. But he was an old Irish man. He's like, I fucking hate it. And it was fun. Done watching it, you got smarter. I'm telling you right now. So, you know, that's what we need to do. We have to take this entertainment that we have here and use it to reach the hearts and minds of our people. So when they watch our shows, listen to our radios, they go, I like this guy, number one. And number two, he made some very good points in that rant he just made, you know?
We also have to become men and women that other people want to emulate, that other people envy, that other people want to be like. I think Kai Muros has some good stuff that he talks about, a healthy dose of arrogance in our young white people, because you look at how beaten up they are. Look at some of these white privilege conferences and these whiteness documentaries. They're beaten up. They have like zero ego. You do have to have some ego to be alive, you know? So we do need a resurgence of that again, a kind of like a I don't give a damn kind of attitude. I'm here, deal with it, right?
Absolutely. That's why I'm being Mr. Asshole. And people are like, where's this image? Where did this come from, Angela? Your videos are so nice and soft. That was me trying to fit into this. That's not me. Listen, I was in boot camp. They did not talk softly to us. They degraded us in every manner possible, cursing and calling us maggots and assholes and pieces of shit. You'll never be a Marine. For 3 months, I was tortured every single day with the most ridiculous, degrading nonsense. I mean, one time I spit on the floor. My drill instructor, pick that up right now. Put it. How many people can say I had to pick up their spit and put it in their pocket? You know, I forgot that I went through this shit. You don't build warriors talking to them softly.
That's right.
Yeah. Marines talking to them softly. And I keep getting told by these people on the internet, we're at war, Angelo. They have never seen war. They don't even understand
that's right.
War.
I think Justin Garcia has talked about this, the importance of exposing your young sons to a little bit of violence, showing them what's actually out there and preparing them for what may come, right?
Yeah, we got to become strong. We become soft and complacent. And I'll tell you this quick story. I went to this one Camp Tiger when we were going up to Baghdad. There was a sign above it. It said complacency kills. That's all it said. I said, Sergeant, what the hell is he talking about? What does that sign mean? He goes, it means that you're in a fucking war zone. If you forget where you are and you start getting complacent, you're going to die. So suppose you go out, take a piss, take off your helmet, sniper, boom, because you forgot you're in a war zone.
Yeah.
Or you're sitting there, you know, you left your rifle all the way over there. We Marines, we had to sleep with our rifle. We had our gas mask on. Everything was at arm's reach. So suppose you had to take a crap. And he said, I'm going to leave my rifle here and my gas mask. And you go to the Port of John, which is away from the tents because you have to be, you know, have that hazmat situation. You don't want to affect people. And suppose you leave. And then all of a sudden a gas attack happens because you're complacent. Now you're going to die.
Yeah.
Because you want to be Mr. Oh, we're not going to get hit. Bullshit. You are going to get hit. You never know if you're going to get hit. So that's what it means. Complacency kills. So white people have become complacent with their super cool apps on their phone, with their cars, with their Netflix. And, you know, the guy from Golden Dawn, Giorgio, told me, he's like, you know what's wrong with the Greek people? half of them have government jobs. They sit there with their espressos. You know, migrants running around, and they're looking at Greek women's asses. They go, "Oh, that's what our country's falling apart."
God, that's annoying. You know,
these are the fucking these are the Spartans, man. These are the these are the people who took over half the planet. This is their complacency of our race.
Well, same with in Sweden and Vikings. I mean, these were warriors that freaking conquered, you know. Now they're just, our women are getting raped. What do we do?
Interesting experiment, the mouse utopia experiment. I'm sure you've heard of it, saw it. They took these mice, they put them in this perfect utopia, gave them all the food they need, everything, more food than they could ever imagine, and they went crazy. Their population skyrocketed, then it got to a point where it would no longer skyrocket. And then the women started acting like male mice, started competing. Violence went through the roof. Mm-hmm. Hoarding in sections where there's plenty of food, but they would go to different areas. Then there was outcasts that would just sit there by themselves, groom themselves, eat, take a crap. That's all they did. All these freakish, unnatural things. And then the entire colony went extinct. What we're seeing here is kind of like that. We're seeing this, overfed, overweight, you know, over-entertained American and European that is in this mouse utopia experiment, and they don't care about their own lives, and they're getting soft and complacent like these mice, and eventually they're going to go extinct. They weren't even reproducing anymore, these mice.
Jeez, they're that lazy, too lazy to even have sex anymore, huh?
Go look up the mouse utopia. They had a very big boost, and then it just went... No, because the women became feminists, basically.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, and Henrik has pointed out to me, too, there's been societies in history pretty much every time when they become matriarchal, then they crumble soon thereafter. You know, it's all lopsided. I wanted to ask you also about the importance of focusing on the youth. Marxists know about capturing the youth, right? Bernie is doing it. If you want to know what America's future is going to look like, look at the youth that are supporting Bernie. And meanwhile, you know, that's a scary scenario. We have to do something about it now. So how is the youth important? How do we reach them?
Well, that's the thing with youth. I mean, the National Youth Front was for that reason. Colleges are the battlefields now. Okay, that's where these anti-white classes are being made. That's why, you know, they're getting taught this crap like, oh, whites are evil. That's where they're being taught. And our schools, too, our little kids are being taught they can be transgender. They're attacking our children. They don't care about me and you, Lana, you know. We're pretty much, well, they do care, but they're not as much as our youth. They want to indoctrinate us incrementally so that by the time our children grow up, we're obsolete, our worldview. That's what they're doing. And you watch these shows, even on cartoons, they'll have a mixed race family. Well, the cartoon has it. Like this black kid. I'm like, what? Wait, where did that come from? I'm like, honey, why is that black kid his brother? How is that possible? What? Anyway, so they're doing it slowly but surely. And the youth is the future of our people. We must protect them. We must stand up for them. So there's no reason why we're not at school meetings, PTA meetings, yelling at people for trying to give us, you know, lesbians, teach our children how to use dildos at 4 years old or whatever it is. I mean, crazy stuff, or that they could pick, they could be princesses if they want to be. We as parents have to be in there fighting this Marxism that is being implemented in our school. There's no one stopping us from doing it, but just no one's really doing it. And some people are doing it. I've seen stories where, you know, they got disgusted with these classes, and
not hard enough. Not enough people, you know. And the other thing is, where's our pressure groups? We need those badly. I mean, the other side is hundreds of groups that are fighting for their interests, looking out for the interests of their people. We have zero. I know before it used to be our society, our government was representing our interests, so we're just kind of used to that. We're not used to not being represented, but we've lost control of the narrative. We need groups that are fighting for our interests, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, NPI is a group. It's a think tank, I think. And they have meetings to get people together. I know Amren does stuff. And Nathan's new group, Identity Europa, which is basically the group he founded, which is different. It's a different twist now. It's identitarian.
Yeah.
They're a pressure group. Their whole goal is about putting pressure on these institutions. And they're going to do very well, especially with the printer now, a fraction of the cost. but we need more pressure groups pushing a winning message, not a Third Reich message, not a message in the past or a doomsday in the future. A message today, you know, close the border, protect our culture, our heritage, you know, protect your people, and say in universal messages so everyone can protect their people. You know, we gotta, again, our youth is important because they're the ones that are being attacked. They're the ones who are targeted for indoctrination, and they're rebellious too. So the thing about the youth, you tell them not to smoke, they smoke. Tell them don't be racist, they're gonna be racist.
That's right.
They're not racist as in kill people and hate everyone, but they're gonna
rebel.
Yeah, so we have to take advantage of this by saying, yeah, you know what? You are white. You are black. You have a right to exist. Don't let these teachers tell you you don't exist. And they're only telling it to white people, by the way. But, you know, that's the thing. We have to focus on our youth, because without them, we don't have a future. And that's why we need to focus on attacking these enemies at these indoctrination camps, which we call universities, because that's where this is happening mostly. And our school levels too. High school, even I'm sure kindergarten, they're probably doing something. Who knows?
Yeah, I think it's really important when you say the truth is less important than the strategy. I mean, that's pretty deep, actually, when you think about it. People don't want to hear the truth.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the explain why, okay? I'll give you a sentence that you can read. Most people can't handle the truth. You agree with that, right?
Yeah.
They won't. So then how are you going to get the most people with the truth? It's just not going to work, okay? Those who appreciate the truth can handle it, okay? What was it? The allegory of the cave? What was that?
Plato.
Plato, yeah. He told you what happened. The guy escaped, came back in. They wanted to kill him because they didn't want to ruin their reality. Mm-hmm. You know, all those shadows mean this. So when you tell the truth to people who want to hear it, you become an outcast. They want to kill you for it because they lose their positions of power. I mean, they killed, Socrates simply for asking why? Why are you the king?
Well, who gave you power?
They made him drink poison or something just for asking a question. So the truth is precious. Not everyone deserves it. That doesn't mean I'm going to keep it from people. But the truth in of itself cannot do anything. There's no strategy. So in my video, the other video I made was, what was it called? The enemy traps and how to avoid them or whatever. It used to be called the most important video I ever made. It got like 10,000 views in 5 days because I literally told everyone everything, the Jewish trap as you showed. But I told people, look, when you know something, you don't tell your enemy you know it. You don't tell your enemy what you're gonna do next. You don't play a chess game telling your opponent every move you're gonna make.
No.
Hey, Bob, I'm gonna move there. Oh, and he's gonna be prepared for it. You know, this is a war. Everyone keeps telling you it's a war, but they don't have any clue of strategy. They wanna strike the most fortified point instead of going around the point. They wanna tell their enemy all the intelligence. They wanna tell
them. They also wanna strike the enemy right away before they even have troops ready and trained.
Yeah.
They don't even have guys on.
A lot of people, they're in fantasy world. They talk about the white ethnostate and, oh, we need to have blood to, oh, you can't get in. You're 97%. These people don't even have a seat in any government's office to talk about anything.
Yeah.
They're really putting the cart before the horse, whatever the term is or phrase. And it's just, to me, I realized I was part of this circle jerk of people who mean well, but are delusional. And we're all going to die if we let these people speak and lead things and with their websites. And I want no part of this stuff, and I got attacked for it, but I'm glad I'm attacked for it because it got me even stronger. And now I'm dealing with people who are serious. We need serious individuals. And we're not gonna deal with these people who are not serious. We gotta fund our own medias. We gotta start using our money in the movement. When our enemies do it, we need to start doing it. We can't be stingy. A lot of whites are stingy. They really are. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a conspiracy the second they see a donation button. Oh, he just wants money. Oh, I don't care about that. But I'm saying these people, they will die for their race, but they won't help you. They won't say, have I donated to you? By the way, I need to donate to you.
I'm not sure.
I'll have to do it again. If I have, I don't know. But I even donated to Rich before I joined. I've donated to other groups.
I did too. Yeah, we try and donate to people often as well.
Yeah. Yeah. There should be, you know, on Christmas, you should donate to 4 different groups just to help them out because, you know, you guys are working. Everyone's working. But these white, I call these people welfare warriors. They want you to work. It will invest nothing in your movement.
Yeah, you're supposed to work, and I'm supposed to have 6 kids and do all these shows and videos for free on top of it, and maybe make my husband a sandwich here and there, right?
Exactly. It's they expect you to do everything for them, and that's why nothing's going. What if we all did something? You know, I mean, it's the thing that white people have. We're individualistic, by the way. That's another thing about our race. Our race is individualistic because we can get along. We can go on our own. Other races are collectivists. So when you have a basketball team that's, you know, playing, everyone's trying to shoot a 3-pointer, be a superstar, versus a team that actually passes the ball and has a strategy, that team is going to lose against the team that's collectivist.
Well, that's how I see. I know you and Rich, you're working on, I think it's Resurgence Media. I've been connecting with other media outlets, and I think it's great. I support that all the way. I help promote other outlets all the time. And it is like a game. We could all be separate players on the basketball court, right? But we have our separate media outlets and we intersect and we connect in different ways and promote each other. So what do you guys have going on? You and Rich. Well,
right now, me and Rich, we got four people on board. We have Mike Sledge, who's a good guy. We have Jordan North Powell, myself, and Rich, obviously. And I actually have my friend Gabe, who's my personal friend. He's a personal trainer, big bodybuilder dude. He's apprenticing. So what we're doing is we're allowing people to apprentice. We got him. We got a guy from Britain, Matt from Britain. We got another guy, Tyler. We're getting people to apprentice, and then eventually they'll get paid for their work. And this is going to eventually grow bigger and bigger and bigger. And, you know, we charge very low. Right now it's like $2.08. And this is going to get people off listening to garbage like Howard Stern and listen to stuff that they can relate to for our cause and our people and blow up big enough that people can get paid.
That's right.
What's good work, you know? And is this the end all be all? No, but this is going to get people to learn. Like, for example, Jordan North Powell, he did a podcast about getting into politics. How? Because I said to Joe, I don't understand community politics. So he said, I'll make one for you. And he made one. So now I got to go listen to it and understand how it works. You see? So we're educating people so they can take action. And when you have a strategy that doesn't spook people away, you know, and you're not saying crazy things, you can get into politics and people will listen to you. Mm-hmm. You know, like Dr. Duke, when he won, what was he saying? Was he saying, things that spooked people? No, I'm going to do this. I'm going to stop the welfare abuse, whatever he did. Conservative platform. We need to run, as Richard Spencer said at NPI, Trump Republicans. That's a good term, because Trump is just Donald Trump, and he's destroying the PC narrative, which is in of itself a victory. Even if he loses somehow, if he does, that in itself is a victory, destroying the PC narrative, because that's part of the conditioning that our people have been subjected to, that polices their own mind.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? It's a form of mind control that we do to ourselves because we agree to it. It's incredible.
Yeah. And the other thing, you know, coming from an anarchist background and it's kind of anti-authority for a long time, I was anti-leader. You know, we don't need leaders. Yes, we need leaders. There's a natural hierarchy. There's a natural aristocracy, and we should embrace that. We should go with it. Those people make themselves known through what they do, through what they can accomplish, because there's a lot of people I hear that say, I want to get involved, but I don't know what to do. So you almost need someone helping coordinate these things, a leader saying, do this or go here. So I think it's good that you put out those ideas. I mean, some of those you said in your video, how to organize our forces, and you actually give some tips, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I say, you know, we need think tanks. We need people who come up with ideas, who come up with slogans that work. We need heritage clubs just to join, you know, I'm an Italian American, or you're a Swedish American, or you're just an American, whatever, to protect your heritage. I mean, look at the South. I mean, they're getting obliterated. They're getting their monuments destroyed. I mean, the South has a very tight history, you know, and I feel bad for the Southerners that they're getting their monuments annihilated and hundreds of thousands of people died. You know, and now for this political correctness, they're getting desecrated. It's disgusting, you know. And I was born in Italy and I still feel bad. But we have to organize in organizations of many types. I mean, look at our enemies. They have millions of organizations. Everything's an organization.
I know.
You know, it's insane. And I don't even want to call them enemies. I want to call them opponents. I want to call them, they're fighting for resources. They're fighting for power. And we're not fighting at all. Where are our organizations?
Yeah.
Why don't we have hundreds of them? You only need a website and a few people to go to it and donate and start something and pass out flyers and meet somewhere and get together and work. It's not that hard to do. No. I mean, when I started NYF with Nathan, when I took over from chairman, we had 9 guys. In a few months, we had 110 all over the world. All I did was do this, talk to people. They did it. They joined us. They believed in us. We did some activism. We recorded it. We made people motivated. It's not that difficult. But this movement or this cause is so desperate for anyone to do anything normal that I was a hero because I put a flyer up. I mean, is that a lot? I mean, our ancestors, hordes of
invaders. What do you think about the whole flyer street activism? Does that even do anything?
I think it does, absolutely. Because you might run someone, again, a guy from Boston just recently got red-pilled because he remembered our street activism. Again, I don't bash people. I mean, I did everything. I did activism. I've donated. I've been an intellectual, if you want to call me. I'm not really an intellectual. I'm more of a motivator. But you know, all of this matters, Lana. And I think people took my message and they thought I was bashing them when I said keyboard commanders. I'm referring to people that don't do anything but complain.
Yeah, they took it personal, huh?
So, I mean, look, if something offends you, that means at some level you believe. If I said,
that's
Lana,
right,
you're fat whale. You're not fat, so it's not going to offend you. You know what I'm saying? So if something's true at some level, you're going to get mad. If I said white nationalism is a failing strategy, they got mad because 60 years shows it. And I've had people argue, well, now we're starting to win. I go, where? Where did you win? Point your finger at one victory. This is what Rich told me. Tell them to point their finger. And he's right. He told me, point a finger. I go, I can't point a finger. You're right. Only Dr. Duke when he ran for Congress.
Yep.
That's it. And he wasn't running as a white nationalist. So we got to understand America is a melting pot, unfortunately. Actually, it always has been from day one. I mean, when we came to the natives were here, if they're native, we could argue that, of course. I don't even care who's here first. The fact is we've always had different people here. And at one point we were 90%. And we've let ourselves to become 60%. No one killed us off. We stopped reproducing. Yes, we've allowed policy. We allowed our trade. Listen, our traders are the biggest problem, number one. Then comes the other guys, and then comes ourselves. But mostly ourselves, we let our traders come in and power in this place. So again, that's the main focus, what I'm trying to push with Rich. He got me on board with that. So did the Golden. They said the same thing, because once Giorgio and Frank told me, he talked about the Italian Forza Nova, same issue in Italy. Same issue as the Greeks. They're just complacent. And they allowed this to happen.
That's right. It's a problem across the whole white world, if you will. Yes.
Here's Lana, is that those two countries have thousands upon thousands of years of culture to fight for.
Mm-hmm.
Here in America, you have a race to fight for. It's a lot harder to be like, oh, we're both white, so let's fight together, versus, hey, we're both Greek. We have history, thousands of years to protect these tombs and these architects.
I mean, I feel most at home when I'm in Russia and when I hear a Russian language and I'm around Russians, you know.
That's why I felt terrible. You know, I kind of felt bad when I said that. I go, you know, this guy is right. All they do have is race. And, you know, and maybe if they had an ethno state, then they could start a new culture. That's the whole goal. And that they probably would, you know, like Jamaicans did. You know, I mean, the black people from Africa or whatever.
I think they can do it. If there's a will, and I see a lot of these younger guys, I think that they can fight for it and make it happen.
Look, I'm not against any of these people. I think their marketing is terrible. You know, the racial slurs, the supremacy, the, you know, subhuman thing. Oh, this guy. Look, I don't believe in a superior race, Lana. I don't. I believe in superior people. You know, I've heard black people speak who are intelligent. I've heard different races speak different. I believe in superior people, and superior people should be the leaders of humanity. You know, this isn't eugenics talking here. This is logic. If you're going to get surgery, you want the best doctor in the world to work on you. You don't want some okay guy.
It usually happens to be European.
So that's my point here. I believe in superior people. And, you know, some of these guys with the delusions say, oh, the white race is superior. Yeah, we've done a lot of stuff. But
look at us now. Right now, we're not very superior, unfortunately.
White, but they act like they invented the light bulb. No, our gene pool gave birth to a person who did invent the light bulb. You didn't do shit but complain about these people. We need to start being proud of ourselves. We need to individually become great people, accomplish good things, build networks, be entrepreneurs, for Christ's sakes. Open a small business. Have a family. Leave a legacy. Then be proud to be whatever you are. But these people are just they're riding off the accomplishments of, you know, Henry Ford or Thomas Edison. I mean, I invented that. No, you didn't. But I'm proud to be part of our people. But for Christ's sakes, I personally, what did I do so far? Not much. I mean, I motivated people, but I'm not happy with what I've done.
Well, that's why we should honor our ancestors and try and do something great and leave that legacy. I think there's a Viking saying about that. It's about what you leave behind after you die. What kind of legacy are you going to leave? So, well, I think this is a really good place to end it. I really appreciate your time today. I think it's been very valuable. Any last words you have?
Yeah, I just want to let people know, listen, I'm giving you guys tough love because I've realized that me coming into this movement, I've been walking on eggshells dealing with people who are absolutely delusional and stupid. Let's be honest here. And we're not going to win allowing these people to lead the way or think they're leading the way. We need strong people. We need people who are normal, who aren't going to spook people away. And at Resurgence Media Network, that's what we're going to do. We're going to build a community of people who are normal, who can go out and do activism supporting Trump, who won't be scaring people away with slogans that are freaky. We need normal people. There's hundreds of millions of people like us who don't know where to go. And when they go online and see these crazy websites, they go, oh, I don't want part of that. We need to change that. We need to make outlets that are normal, that'll tap into that majority that is normal. Because we cannot worry about the 0.00001% of whites who run these fringe movements who want to take over the planet and whatever else. We got to stop with these delusions. We got to be practical. We have to be peaceful and work with other races who are on the same page. If not on the same page, then obviously don't work with them. But we have to have compassion. We cannot become the enemies that we despise. And that's what I think is happening. And I want to get out of that. And I don't want nothing to do with it. So I really hope that those of you who agree with what I'm saying, reach out to me, you know, support the medias that I'm building, support Lana, support the people out there who are busting their ass to get the message out and to motivate you to do something other than type on a computer. You're not going to type the borders closed. You're not going to save the white race with a meme. You could change people's hearts, you could change people's minds, but you're not going to motivate them. You need to get their hearts. And that's with leadership. That's with a strong message. And that's with you leading by example. So that's all I have to say about that, Lana.
Thank you so much, Angelo.
All right. Thank you for letting me be here.
So we have a pretty damn good idea of who the elites at anti-whites are. Now, what are we going to do about it? Beyond doing what we individually do to alert the people in our own circles, I agree that we must also do more to make the next phase of what needs to be done possible. It requires resources, ingenuity, talent, and political action. It requires organization and hard work. I've been saying this for a while now, but creating businesses, acquiring wealth for the war fund, becoming healthy and physically fit, learning skills, becoming self-sufficient, creating families in our own communities. These are some things we all should be working toward. There's many approaches to waking up fellow Europeans to the war on whites. I think by now I've heard them all, and I see people attempting this in all kinds of ways. I'm not going to fight over which way is the best, but we can all agree on one thing. We want a separate territory for European Americans. So what is it going to take to make that a reality? Let's boil it down to our common denominator, a white homeland without lefties. In America, we're at a point where we need an organized political movement. Trump is not going to create a white homeland. We all know this. He is the last breath of the Republican Party and the last chance for white people when it comes to existing mainstream parties. Good riddance. But we need to be there to catch the fallout and have our ducks in a line to say, come over here. Otherwise, we'll lose the momentum that has started with the Trump movement. Europe already has a right-wing political movement rising up. We don't have anything of worth here in America. So whether you're a nationalist, tribalist, want secession, want national socialism, or another kind of folk-based system, to make any of these options possible requires political action. In the current year, it's just a fact. So while open Trotsky lovers are sitting on the seats of your city council, you can't stand by and do nothing. So which one of you is going to run in your local town and snatch those city council seats? It's time to infiltrate the system and to do it wisely and under the radar. Commies did this and it worked. Although funny, a slogan like, with Jews you lose, isn't going to get you elected. We have to be smarter, slicker, more cunning, organized, and calculated. And I see that potential in many alt-right guys and gals. Also, get active in your local towns and cities. Volunteer, help needy whites. Find where rightists meet, become political, get to know your local elites. Infiltrate, make a presence, whisper in ears, and plant seeds. Create dissent for the left while being a voice of reason and salvation for our own who are confused and beaten down. It's not about coming out guns blazing in every situation. Each approach is different depending on the receiver. We have to proselytize our message while also offering a solution. Meanwhile, I also think the identitarian movement is incredibly helpful. It's about reminding our people what it is to be a European in all its complexity. European has always been badass, and we have to remind people of that. If our young can be solid, firm in their European identity, it doesn't matter what anti-white attempts come their way, because they'll be strong enough to withstand the blows, and the hits would only make them stronger, reaffirming their position. Our solution is political, cultural, and racial, and we have a lot of work to do. I want to thank all our members for your support. Some of my best friends were first members, so we think of you all as family. Also, I was asked if Henrik would be doing some filmed radio interviews, and the answer is yes, so look out for that. A reminder to tune in this Saturday the 30th to our 10-year anniversary live stream special. We'll bring on guests, friends, and take calls, and of course, we'll be sharing our plans for expansion and brainstorm ideas. It's all starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, going until around 10 p.m. Eastern, so please tune in. Check our website for call-in details, and we'll provide the live stream link. If you want to watch this interview, go to redicemembers.com and sign up for a Red Ice membership. Find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+. I'm also pleased to announce that Arthur Kemp will be on Radio 314 in May, so look out for that. Have a great night, everyone.
Blicke die Zukunft gerichtet. Einem Volk voran. Dein König. Der Kaiser! Über alle Widerstände hinweg! Vorwärts! 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 Vorwärts!
Sessions.